Isn't to get rid of anything. It is to continue the flow. The flow of life. And breathe in again, gently, easily. But let it go up. Today, I like to think that life is awakened in me. Life is awakened in me. Those of you who care to, would you affirm that with me? Life is awakened in me. Today, I choose life, and I choose it more abundantly. Choose the riches of life. And I set down the judgment of life. I am life. I am life. And life is abundant in me, and as me, and through me. Life flows through every cell, every tissue, every fiber of my being. Head to toe and toe to head. Life awakened in me. And just affirming that allows life to be revealed to me. Through me and as me. Life has awakened me now. Lets me know that life is so much more than I thought it was. Life is so much more than my body. Life is so much more than my walking around. Life is so much more than I could ever think. So in this time together, affirming, life is awake in me now. Let us allow life to tell us what it is as we put down our definition of what we think it is. Let's take a moment in the silence to let life reveal itself to us now. Let's go on in. Bigger than I ever imagined. Life better than I ever imagined. Life more intricate and yet simpler than I ever imagined. Life is awakened in me, and it is awakened more abundantly. So each day, as we choose the consciousness of life, let us choose it with gratitude and with the assurance that life is. Life is. Life is. So it is. Let's bring our consciousness back here and say thank you and amen. Would you please welcome out here to sing for us, my friend from Sacred Stages, Reverend Sandra Bargeman. Sean Mollinger has Is there anybody here who has not had the pleasure of meeting me? I've been away. I said, almost said 10 months. It was actually 10 days. It was about 12 days, and it might as well have been 10 months or 10 years. I was in a land of no time, no place. I did a Vipassana course. It's 10 days in the silence itself, and then a couple of days on each side of it. We finished at 7 o'clock this morning, and I just got in my car and drove on down here and thought we'd have a chat. I might have a lot to say. I might have next to nothing. Has anyone ever done the 10-day Vipassana course? I don't know. Anybody else? Yes? Anybody else? I see 2, 3, 4. Have you done it up in Shelburne Falls, or have you done it elsewhere? Okay, well, I did it at an ashram up in Shelburne Falls. This was my fourth time. And one would say, Sean, really, why? Wasn't once enough? And it's one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. I've walked on fire twice at Ween's place, but you don't walk on fire for 10 days. You don't mosey across the fire. Get across that fire as fast as you possibly can. And with this, what's the big, you're just quiet for 10 days, but it's not, the quiet is the easy part. It's the screaming in your head that is the difficult part. And the first time, I do remember, now if you don't know what the purpose of Vipassana, it's a Buddhist meditation, Dhamma meditation, and it's a very specific style of meditation, which I'm not going to teach you here. I'm not qualified to teach it. I signed a paper that said I would not teach it. But the purpose is to eradicate all craving, aversion, and ignorance. And the first time I was there, I remember, because you're on the floor for about 10 hours a day. You get little breaks, but you're on the floor sitting like this, 10 hours a day. And for me, as well as many, it's uncomfortable to sit on a pillow or a stool or something for 10 hours a day. It hurts. It hurts you. But it hurts your legs, it hurts your back. Plus, they're asking you for 3 of those 1 hours a day to be still, to keep your legs crossed, your hands crossed, and your eyes closed. I've never made it more than a half an hour, ever. And I'm okay with it. But what I discovered is that I have a great aversion to discomfort. Tremendous aversion to discomfort. And I have a great craving for comfort. I saw, you know, I'm not even uncomfortable when I change. Because I keep trying to get comfortable. Let me eat something, let me do something. And so my ignorance, I finally got out of day 5 or 6, and I thought, oh, I've got this, I understand now. My ignorance is that if I can just get comfortable, I won't be uncomfortable. And I thought, that's what this is about. I think that it's about becoming comfortable so that I won't be uncomfortable anymore. And my ignorance is that I think that matters. My ignorance is that I think my body, that this is eternal. Whatever I'm feeling in this moment, whatever sensations I'm having in this moment are forever eternal. And so I must change it if I don't like it. And so I went, you can make a little appointment with the assistant teacher. There's a main teacher on video, a video discourse and tapes all day. Sangawenka, he's no longer with us, but these recordings were made in 1991 at a 10-day course that he did. He's also made a 20-day course and a 30-day course. 45-day course. I think those are for people who just want to sublet their apartment. I don't know how anyone would sit for 45 days. I have not become the enlightened one yet. But you can make, at lunchtime, you can make an appointment for a brief interview with the assistant teacher. There's a female and a male assistant teacher. And so I went to him, made my appointment, and I went to him after lunch. And I got down on my knees there, and I said, I think I've got this. That if I am just craving aversion, ignorance, and if I can just get comfortable, I won't be uncomfortable. And he said, Sean, I think you should just keep doing Vipassana. And that was the end of my interview with the teacher. He was not there to have an intellectual conversation with me. And I thought, well, okay, fine. And I left not really knowing what Vipassana was. There were many words I did not hear, I know, because I heard them this time for the very first time. And this is the same discourse. And so the second time I went back, you know, I thought, oh, sitting of strong determination, noble silence. And I would sit, and we would start each session, and I would close my eyes. I'd be there on the floor. I would close. The second time I got wise, I took a back jack. If you don't know what those are, it's a chair with no legs. And they let me bring one of those. So I had a chair. I had my back supported. I had pillows under each leg and a blanket to hide anything I wasn't supposed to be doing. And because you're not allowed to put your feet out. It's disrespectful, things like that. But in case I wasn't sitting quite the proper way. And I thought, okay, I got my little throne here, and I'm ready. And at each session, you know, just as they'd say, go within. And suddenly, there was an assistant, a course manager. There's lots of roles there for service. And nobody gets paid. The teachers don't get paid. The course managers don't get paid. The people who make your meals do not get paid. The people who serve your meals do not get paid. And they do not charge you for this. I was not charged to go on this at any one time because they want you living on charity while you're there so that you could not say, well, I'm paying for this. There's none of that. There's no commerce going on. And it's fantastic. At the end, they will accept a love offering. And I like how they put it. If you wish to make it possible for the next student to take this course, we will accept your love offering. And it's very clean to me. And so, what was I saying? Oh, that's at my throne. Okay, so I'm down there, and every one of those, especially the three sessions a day of noble silence, and I would close my eyes and the tape would start, and suddenly I'd hear the course manager had pants on, like vinyl pants or nylon pants that dragged, and then every time he had to get up, so I'd have to open my eyes to see what's going on here. I couldn't miss out and see under attack or, you know, something interesting is happening. But on day five is the day four on Sunday. You start on Wednesday night, day four is Sunday. You're going into Vipassana. And what I grew to understand is that is our commitment to our next good. The day you go in, the first three full days are just simply respiratory stuff, getting you accustomed to discerning sensation. And for new students, you're just discerning the air of your breathing around the nostril. I'm so used to him saying nostril, but it's nostril. But for old students, which is your second time, you're just discerning this from the lip to here. You're discerning the sensation for the first 3 days. And so the fourth day, Vipassana, I perceive that as the commitment to your next good. And I was sitting there on my little throne, my gold blanket and my back jack, and I thought, I got this year, thank goodness. And suddenly, a pain started right about here and started working its way up. And I thought, oh dear Lord, I can't stay. I have to go. I can't do this. I can't. It hurts too much. And suddenly this guy from over here comes running across the room, and he's standing by the door, and his fists are clenched, and he's like in a panic. I could see it. And I thought, he's doing what I want to do. And I silently said, thank you. And the pain began to recede. See, he wasn't too ashamed to admit his fear of committing to his next good, his next freedom. And the rest went pretty smoothly. Again, it's never easy. It's just possible. Even though I'll be honest, you can't go to your car during it or anything. There's a little tiny walking path. And every day, I click my keys to make sure I hear beep, beep. So I know my car is there and ready to go in case I should decide to leave at any given moment. This is my neuroses. And so I pay attention to this stuff. Okay, I'm safe for the day. I have options. Even though you make a commitment to stay for the entire 10 days, but I'm old enough to choose every single day. I noticed a couple of people were gone by the end this time, so I don't know what happened to them. I just know they were not there by Saturday when I could see everybody. And so the third time, it was easy enough, but again, I didn't hear. A lot of stuff I didn't hear. And this time I sat there, and I heard things. And I should tell you, there's something, some man who I've not seen since. I met him at the initial dinner. And I use that term lightly. Dinner. I'll tell you about the food in a second. But the first night, there is a very, very light supper. So I couldn't tell you what we ate right now, but I know there was chips involved. But this man I was talking to, and it was like his 20th time, 20 or 26th, I can't remember anymore, doing this. I said, holy smokes. And he said, you'll make it. And so I had a friend there the whole time. I knew he wouldn't speak. I knew he's never going to look at me. He's never going to try to meet my eye. He's not going to do any of that because there is no communication. It's not like a silent unity in the silence. No, there's none of that. We're trying to pretend each other is not there. And so I made it through, and I, knowing every time I saw him, he's on my side. And so I've made a choice every single time since. I go to the newcomers and I say, I want you to, this was done for me, and I want you to know, I'm not gonna come sit with you at lunch, and we're not gonna smile, we're not gonna wink, and I won't talk to you. Just know I'm on your side and I'm here. And every time you see me, you'll know I'm here. And a man last night came to me and cried, and he said, on day 5, Sean, I think you smiled at me, and I needed that smile so much. Do you remember? And I said, I don't. But I may have. I know. I believe we get what we need. So this year, we, as I heard the discourse every night, you do get to watch a video every night of Goenka, and it's pleasant. He's funny. He's a funny man. Very funny man. But I heard these words, and the first one was sensation. Observe sensation. For the first time, I heard it. Observe sensation. It didn't say name sensation. It didn't say have an opinion about sensation. It didn't say any of that. It said just go through your body and observe your sensations, the physical sensations. Don't decide what they mean. And to do this over and over and over and over and over and over. That's why I call this talk into the wilderness and out of the wilderness and into the wilderness and out of the wilderness. I'm telling you, while I'm going through looking at sensations, everybody I've ever met in my entire life has come to visit me. Thank you, some of you. You were there, trust me. Hey, Sean, you come into my mind. People who were dead have come to visit. My third grade teacher came to say hello. I'd be walking along, suddenly I'd have a very vivid thought. I was like, oh, look who's here to see me. And I'd say it silently, but I would say it. And so he talked about a word as you are observing sensations, because eventually that's how your body will heal. That is how your mind and your body will heal. He says, all sensations are equal. He said, some may be subtle and some may be gross. And I don't mean gross, but gross meaning solid and more substantial. But they're equal. One has not one any more importance to it than another in observing. If there's no judgment, there is no charge to it. And many of you know I fell down at the beginning of summer, so I have some body issues right now around mostly knees and a hand. And I kept looking, and one day I was by myself meditating, and it occurred to me that the Vipassana, this unity, all spiritual foundations at its core has to have a path to a full healing. And it's not about getting it. It's about revealing it. Yes. We're not trying to get a healing. For 10 to 11 days, I never used the word God once. I never asked God for anything. I didn't ask the universe for anything. Most affirmations I did was love lives here. Because in Vipassana, you are asked to drop your whole spiritual practice. There is no reading, there is no writing, there is no music, there is no singing, there is no praying, there's no yoga, there's no jujitsu, there's no anything. There is Vipassana. There is, but this one word that kept coming up was sankhara. And he kept saying, you don't want to create more sankhara. And I thought, I don't even know what it is. But as I listened, and I listened, and I listened, I started getting it. Oh. Now the problem is, when you're still confused, as many of us are, you take it as, I should be guilty because I still have it. I should be guilty because I'm not already there. I'm not already at the end of this course. Well, I've made it to the end of this course 4 times, and I still got plenty of sankhara, let me tell you. Sankhara, it's another word for stuff. Sankhara is what produces masses of solidified energy in your body. Sankhara is what builds up and cannot just really stop the flow. And it sits in our body. We often think it sits in our head. It only starts there. We set it down into our body. S.N. Goenka he was a very, very successful businessman. Very successful in India. But he got these migraines. They got so severe, he was becoming addicted to morphine. And somebody suggested to him that he go over to Burma and take this course with this teacher. And he heard about it, and he said, well, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. It's like when in church or here, when I've heard somebody say, well, Sean, this is all great here, but what about in the real world? As if this isn't the real world, and that's not the false. That's the temporary world. Everything's gonna change outside these doors. Everything's gonna change, and just about everything in these doors is going to change, except truth. Truth is always going to be true. So with the sensations, that's why they have no order of importance, because they're all going to change. We don't know how soon. They could change immediately. But all the sensations in the body are going to change. So the sankhara creating these masses, and the sankhara is, you know, you're breathing. It's a beautiful day. can't believe she did that to me. Her. Oh, get rid of that. Oh, it's a lovely day. Oh, it's wonderful. Oh, yeah, well, my stepfather hit me. I was just a jerk. Oh, I wish I could pay my rent. Oh, I wish I could do it. Oh, I wish this didn't hurt so much. Oh, I wish you were different. Oh, I wish I was thinner. I wish I had hair. I wish I had. And that's all Sankara stuff. That's creating the masses. It's all trying to not be here, which is resistance to life. It's all the resistance to life. And so, oh, you know what? While I'm here in this meditation, let me see if I could conjure up a new car. That is also Sankara. It's creating a new craving. It's creating a craving, and a craving is for something to be something you're not. If I get the car, then I'll be enough. Oh, but if I get the car, then I'm gonna have to park it at the end of the lot so nobody will hit me, and then I'm gonna need new mats, and then I'm gonna need And so it creates the cravings, and then there's, but how am I going to afford all that? And there creates the aversions. And so to become conscious, and it's very similar to what we teach in Unity with different words. Sometimes we have to hear some different words here. And to come to terms with, I am enough. I'm a beloved child of God. I'm a beloved child of life. I'm a beloved child of love. I'm a beloved child of wisdom and truth. Biblically, we're instructed to, with all thy getting, get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. With all thy getting. And it's not about intellectual understanding. It's about knowing. How wonderful would our lives be if we all knew? If we all knew whatever it is going to change. And what I have to do is look within and see with no opinion. Look within and see. Because then you see, I can look out into the world and realize, oh, when I have an opinion about that, I'm bringing it in. I'm bringing the judgment in. I'm starting to solidify the mass of emotion, the mass of energy, the mass of whatever into my body, into my feet, into my legs, into my internal organs, into my hands and my arms. And so all of us, as we have our meditative lives, as we have our prayerful lives, I really want to encourage all of us to quit asking God for stuff. And I know you, many of you have had ministers, for Unity ministers for years, that said, just ask God. The problem is, if that worked, if it works one of the times, how come it doesn't work all of the time? If that were the way to do it, oh God, please give me a new car. Oh God, please give me a relationship. Oh God, please give me more cash, more whatever. Oh God, take this pain away. Has anybody ever done that and you didn't see a change? Anybody? Can't just be me. Okay, so clearly that is not the surefire method for manifestation. So I had to look at these 10 days where I wasn't trying to get anything. And believe me, I wanted my knees to feel better. And they're so much better than they were even a month ago. They're so much better. I was able actually to get down on the floor 3 times this week. And otherwise I had to use a chair this time. But so trying to get something from God is not the path. Your teachers who have told you to try to do that, they were wrong. As far as I'm concerned, they were wrong. And some of my favorite teachers and instructors have told me, oh, just ask God. But I had to look at it. What does that mean for me? Well, for me, what it means is, If I'm praying for something, what I'm actually doing is asking myself to become willing to experience it. Because there's nobody outside actually giving it to me. I can't have or experience anything that I'm not willing to. That it is not in my head to experience. That's why when I say, oh God, please give it to me. Well, God's not a person. There's one power and one presence as the universe and as my life. God, the good omnipotence. Doesn't say God, the person. Doesn't say God, the old man who will give me stuff. Doesn't say God, the old man with a big honking warehouse deciding if today is Sean's lucky day. I was going to say, I don't know about you, but I do. I manifest a lot of stuff. I experience a lot of stuff. You do too. We're in a body. Anybody here not manifested a body? Okay. Everybody has clothes on. You may not like your clothes, but you got them on. Thank you. Everybody got here. You manifested a way to get here today. So that proves you are a master manifester. And that proves you're sitting in a room full of master manifestors. Just because there's certain things you haven't manifested yet doesn't mean you won't. Stay true to your spiritual self. Stay true to what you are. During this time of meditation, multiple times of meditation, hours and hours and hours, there's 10 and a half hours a day of meditating. Thank you. And I had 10 and a half hours of this meditating. And I'm thinking, well, that's time for a lot of thoughts. It's time for a lot of plans. It's time for a lot of thinking. And I could imagine how I would make the world a better place. Sometimes it was just Sean's world. Actually, it was always Sean's world. Because the world I'm seeing is the one I'm making up. And so I would, oh man, I changed a lot of things in my free time. Changed so much. And then I had to come back to doing the actual changing, which is to be. I had to come back from the wilderness. You know, Jesus went off to the wilderness. That doesn't mean he went out in the woods. It means he went to those crazy, confused, unbridled thoughts of who am I? What am I? I went to my teacher this week, had a lovely teacher this week, and I made my lunchtime appointment, and I said, I fell down a few months ago, and I haven't found a way to feel secure yet. I feel I've lost my confidence. I don't know who I am. I don't know what I am. I do know that I am. He was kind. He was very kind. He wasn't enabling. He was just kind. And he said, Sean, as you continue to do Vipassana, as you continue to meditate every day, as you continue to just observe your sensations, you'll be okay with being no thing. Because there won't be anything to be. You will already be it. Imagine, if you will, that you could be okay to be no thing in the story. You're already everything you need to be. So it's not about doing. It's about coming to terms with being. And in that coming to terms with being, all forgiveness takes place. All offenses are eradicated. There is no place where you are not enough. There is no place where you are not loved. There is no place you have to be. in order to be. There is no thing to have in order to be. There is no place to go in order to be. I'm a beloved child of God. I'm a beloved child of good. I'm a beloved child of life. And the only one you need to seek to give you this full awareness, this full spiritual understanding, is yourself. And so today, I encourage you to ask yourself for the feeling you want to feel. Ask yourself for the healing you want to experience. Ask yourself. And one might say, but I don't know what that is. Ask, and it will be revealed if you want to know. As I always say, your abundance is going to be very expensive. It's going to cost you all your lack. It's going to cost you the perceived absence of your good. It will cost you, your good will cost you everything you call bad. And knowing the truth will cost you your opinions. If we take the time to really think about it, we can realize, oh, I already have everything. And all I had to do was change a few thoughts to change the entire world. Gang, thanks for letting me share this with you today.